Mercy, mercy, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Chapter number 61, the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is such a beautiful book. It is said to be the miniature Bible. There are 66 chapters in this Bible, in this book, and there are 66 books in the Bible. When you begin to read the book of Isaiah, you begin to read about the creation. When you come to the closing chapters of the book of Isaiah, you'll read about the new creation. Amazing, isn't it? Right where the Old and New Testament swap numerically, you come to that passage, it deals with John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness. An amazing thing. Such similarities to the whole of the Bible itself. Chapter number 61. I'm going to read three verses here and speak to you on the subject of liberty tonight. I don't know of a greater subject, do you? Because liberty is that God has done for us as believers. Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We're going to stand fast. That means I'm going to hurry up and do what I'm supposed to do. Standing right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Did you hear that? Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness that planteth of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. That He might be glorified.
Amen.
Father, bless our efforts tonight. We come before You and before these people as a dying man, waiting for the hour, looking for the moment, but yet living more so than anyone could ever live without Christ. Thank You, Lord, for letting us live the life that You put in us and giving us the liberty we can exercise that life day to day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word liberty in this text is an amazing word. It literally means to be unbound. Unchained, if you will. Unchained from all of our sins and all of those things that would hold us back from being what we should be for the glory of God. But liberty is more than just being unchained. Liberty is the ability to be able to carry on what God has called you to do and the gift that God has given you without being hindered. America, to this hour, still has that liberty.
Amen.
But I would say to you that it may not last long. The situation before us tonight is dire.
Amen.
You don't know and I don't know what's going to come tomorrow from Washington. And the world, because of this Wuhan virus, has gone crazy. Rather than going to God and giving God the glory for the vaccines and so on, man is taking the glory for it. Hello? Man is taking the glory for it. And now there's another headed down the pipe. Now everybody's scared again. Without trusting God, fear will rule your life. And that's not the way God meant it to be. You're to be liberated from fear. Fear is something that God's people need to learn cannot live in the same house with faith. It just can't do it. They're not, by any stretch of the imagination, any kin. Fear and faith just do not mix. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to have a respect for certain things, but that doesn't mean we're to fear it. And multitudes of people tonight are still fearful. Even after the inoculations and all of that, still scared to death that they're going to catch something.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago that God's in charge of my life. And when it comes time for me to go, if God takes me through a virus, if He takes me any way He chooses to do, that's His will, not mine. It's His time, not mine. I'm promised a certain number of days. Before I ever checked into this world, God had already assigned the days to my life. And I will not pass it. That's what the text says.
Right.
I will not pass it.
Right.
When that hour comes, I'm leaving here.
Amen.
When that hour comes for you, you're leaving here.
Amen.
Whatever manner God chooses to take you. It's an amazing thing to me that God's people, I'm not talking about the world out there, but God's people. As a matter of fact, the world seems to have less fear than God's people have.
Amen.
And that worries me. Few things in this world worry me, but it worries me that God's people whom He has given liberty from fear, unchained us from fear, are scared to death.
Amen.
Of these things. Maybe we need to look back at Calvary one more time. Maybe God would have us look at Jesus Christ one more time. And renew our faith. Ask God to enrich our faith. And help us to trust Him more than we ever have before. In this passage, there is this thing of a proclamation, literally preaching, if you will. The Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim, to preach, to say something. Something that means something.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of preaching in my life, but I've heard very little gospel, godly, Bible preaching.
Amen.
I hear a lot of people say a lot of things, but they never say anything. Sentence after sentence, but they never say anything. God calls men to preach and to proclaim the truths of this book. God has sent good tidings to His people. Not the world now. The world has bad tidings. But God's people have good tidings.
Amen.
The good tidings that we are freed from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
It's gone.
Right.
No more are we so bound up in sin that we cannot function as a human being.
Amen.
How many people do you know this very hour, and because of this holiday, they're exercising their liberty in the things of the world.
Amen.
Rather than being in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Many who would darken the door otherwise will be out there partying tonight.
Amen.
What we need to be doing is rejoicing in the Lord rather than partying in the world.
Amen.
Rejoice because of what God's done for us. Rejoice because He has set us free. He speaks of the humble, the meek. Those who are humbled by the reality of the sense of the law. It's an amazing thing, but even today, I hear many preachers preach as if the law could save you. God never gave the law to save anybody. Not one single soul has ever or ever will be saved by the law. The law is there to humble us. It's there to show us our need of salvation. It's there to show us what sinners we are, how guilty we are before the Lord God Almighty, and leaves us with no answers. There's absolutely no solution given for your circumstance under the law. But Jesus came, having fulfilled the law. Now that the law is fulfilled in Christ by the Lord Himself, the law now having been fulfilled, you and I have the privilege of living at liberty with the law behind us, with nothing to say. It's as though God has taken the key and locked the jaws of the law that condemned us, and now it can say nothing against us because Jesus Christ has satisfied the law on our behalf. When I read the law, though I cannot plead innocence, I can plead forgiveness. I can't say I'm not guilty in the sense of experientially, but I can say I am forgiven. And therefore the gavel of God has fallen, and the blood of Jesus Christ having paid the price, I am free, at liberty from the law. What a glorious reality. And how much so God's people ought to be shouting the praises of our Lord, because we are free. Free from the law, oh perfect condition. Jesus has died and I have remission. This thing's over where we're concerned. Is that a blessing or is that a blessing? Those who are haunted by sin are freed. By the way, it's imperative, I believe, that we understand that unless sin is noted in our lives, unless we are willing to admit guilt before God, you'll never be free.
Amen.
Time and time again, I've referred to this, and listen to it one more time. There two men went up to the temple to pray, our Lord said. One of them was a Pharisee and one a publican. That Pharisee began to pray and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. I tithe. And he goes on with all of that list that he does. And that poor old publican is over there on his face before God, beating on his chest in the misery of his sin, crying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, Jesus said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Yes.
Why? Because one of them was admitting his guilt, the other was living in his guilt and enjoying it.
Amen.
Satisfying himself,
yes,
in his guilt. My soul, how many people in this world today, how many people in our Baptist churches are doing exactly,
amen,
the same thing? Satisfying themselves,
amen,
by what they do rather than crying to God for mercy. If sin has never haunted you, you've never known what liberty is. The Holy Ghost has never brought conviction in your life. There is no possible way for you to be saved.
Amen.
All there is to it. What does this produce? Let's just look at a couple of things. Said it binds up the broken, the brokenhearted. By the way, your heart's never been broken unless God breaks it.
Amen.
Now, Ginger broke my heart a few times. And I've done my best to pay her back. Can I tell you something? That is not a shadow of what it means when God breaks your heart.
Amen.
When God breaks your heart, He'll break you down like a double barrel shotgun, and you'll cry to God for help and mercy and anything else you can get, because you are a miserable soul. How many of us in the little world, in our courtships, have promised all kinds of things? You get your heart broken and you promise, oh, I'll never do it again. I promise you I'll never do it again. And most of us have done the same thing to God.
Amen. Right.
I'll never do it again. But how long does it take till you do it again? Hey, look up here at me. Mercy and grace are two of the greatest words in this book. The fact that God has mercy toward us, the fact that God would allow grace to work in our hearts. Guilty sinners, freed from the bondage of sin, freed from the burden of sin. Because the Holy Ghost has caused us to see where we are.
Amen.
And where.
Amen.
Before the Lord Jesus. My soul. David was convicted of the Holy Ghost. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Our prayers are a multitude of miles away from scriptural prayer so often.
Amen.
Admitting of guilt before God is the first step toward salvation.
Amen.
It's the first step toward renewal.
Yes.
You'll never be right with God until you're willing to say, I am sorry.
Amen.
I repent of my sin. I repent because I'm guilty, not because somebody said I'm guilty, but because the Holy Ghost has let me know I am guilty before God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And there's one good thing about it. The Holy Ghost will never convict you that God won't forgive you.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost will never convict you that God will not forgive you. Hallelujah. Then there's that presentation before us. Liberty to the captive. Those that are bound by bars. Those that can't get away, so to speak. There are multitudes of people that we meet with every day that are behind bars. No, they're not locked up down the jailhouse and in the state prisons and so on, but they're locked up with habits behind bars that they cannot break through. And the only deliverance they'll ever find is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You see, when Jesus quotes this scripture in Luke chapter number 4, he only quotes a part of it. But in a sense of doing it, he declares himself to be the one who is the deliverer. The one who sets us at liberty. That religious crowd wouldn't have anything to do with him. And by the way, the religious crowd has never had anything to do with him. Never will. But those who will admit their guilt and those who will recognize that God is their only hope. I've dealt with men, hundreds of them, that were going through a 12-step program to get away from some addiction. Can I remind you of something? God's program is one step.
Amen.
Just one step.
Yes, no.
Turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
Turn to Christ.
Amen.
Lay it in His lap. Cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. There is deliverance in Jesus. There's liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 12-step programs, 99% of them go right back at the same thing again. But when God delivers us, thank God it's over. That doesn't mean Satan won't try to tempt you with it time after time, but you have liberty.
Yes. Amen.
You can say, get behind me. Get out of the way. Because God has set you free.
Amen.
Free from the prison. I want to hurry. One more thing I want to give you. The whole reason for this whole passage before us is given us in the last few words. That God may be glorified.
Amen.
I want to give you something to think about tonight. When God saves a sinner, He gets glory.
Amen.
When a sinner goes to hell, He gets glory. What the book says. When God saves you, He gets the glory for that. Not you, not the preacher, not the denomination. But oftentimes that's where it's pointed. Not the evangelist. My soul, I'm so sick and tired of hearing all these reports of evangelists of how many I won to Christ. God saves whom He will, where He will, because He will,
yes.
Whether you're there or not.
Amen.
Now God uses the message. God uses men. And I'm grateful that He does. I just happen to be one of them.
Amen.
But the fact is that the glory doesn't go to me and the glory doesn't go to any other preacher. The glory goes to God. Everything that God does, every single act of God in this book is there for one purpose, to bring glory to the Father. All of it. God never moves among men except He get the glory. I taught our people in Florida, I don't know how many times I said it from the pulpit, give God the glory. Never let man get the glory. Give God the glory. When man begins to steal the glory of God, which, by the way, is one of the major sins of the modern church. Stealing the glory of God. And when someone steals the glory of God, God is obliged to destroy them.
Amen.
Let me give you one example. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He used plagues to plague Egypt. Every one of those plagues was focused on one of Egypt's gods, which were many. And God slapped the face of every god Egypt ever bowed to.
Amen.
And brought the children of Israel out. And some of them recognized, this is the God. Not all of those gods, but this is the God of glory. And God brought them out for His glory.
Amen.
And on the other side of the sea, they sang and give him glory. Can I remind you tonight that God ought to be getting glory from these old bodies because he has saved our soul.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. When our Lord was birthed on this earth, the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What was first? Glory to God in the highest. When you get to glory, guess what you're going to be doing? Giving God the glory. Not just for getting you there, but the way he got you there. And not just that you might be able to enjoy the celestial city, but that he alone get the glory for what's been done.
Amen.
And we come tonight to the Lord's table.
Amen.
For one reason, to bring glory. The Lord himself.
Amen.